Now it's about the money.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this Wednesday morning. This election campaign drew a lot of attention to race, gender, and age. Today, the focus turns to money as President-elect Obama inherits an unofficial recession, massive debt, broken banking, and a shaky stock market. It's tempting to see this morning's Wall Street session as a reaction to the Democratic victories. The Dow is down 158 points now. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson, though, is at the New York Stock Exchange. Jeremy, where is our Election Day rally?
Well, Bill, if you wanted a rally, you should have gone to Grant Park last night. Here at the New York Stock Exchange, it's more of a sell-off. It has already begun. And one investor told me this morning that the market had actually priced in an Obama win weeks ago.
Well, what is driving today's selling then?
Well, we're still on the verge of or in the midst of a recession. GMAC confirmed that again this morning with a $2.5 billion loss. There's a report due out in just a few minutes that the service sector shrank in October. That's what's expected to be said in that. There's a jobs report coming out. So these pieces of data, investors say, will have a more of an impact on the markets than the final vote tally.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson at the New York Stock Exchange. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks, Bill.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 162 points now, about 1 2/3%. This is after yesterday's 300-point gain. The Nasdaq this morning is down 26 points, or about 1.5%. The S&P 500 down 16 points, also down about 1.5%. Asian markets staged a strong rally today, up 2 to 4%, and major European markets were off 1 to 2%. Joining us now is Nariman Baravesh, chief economist for IHS Global Insight Consultants. Nariman, President Obama will also probably inherit a fresh economic stimulus package from this Congress. What do you hope to see in that?
Well, there are three elements, I think, that are important. The first is some kind of infrastructure spending. That tends to have the biggest bang per buck. I think that's a very important element of such a stimulus. Second is revenue sharing or grants and aid to state and local governments. And finally, I think they're going to consider, and I think this is fine, an increase in unemployment insurance. All those elements are critical here.
And anything you're fearing?
I think any further tax rebates are not a good idea in the sense that people tend to save tax rebates.
Obama will also inherit this $700 billion bailout package for financial institutions, but that package has a lot of wiggle room as to how it can be spent. How would you advise the new president to spend it?
I think the missing link right now is that nothing has been done for homeowners, so some of the money should be allocated to a program that tries to minimize that kind of damage and in the end put some kind of a floor on home prices.
And the auto industry?
Well, I'm less sympathetic here in the sense that certainly the problems in the auto industry have been long in coming. This is a long issue. It's been in the making for a long, long time. It doesn't really have that much to do with what's going on in the economy currently, although it's certainly been exacerbated by it. So I think the risk here is that every industry that runs into trouble because of their own mistakes then comes to the government says, oh, help us out. We raise a big risk here if we bail out the auto industry of what's referred to as moral hazard, namely that it encourages sort of profligate behavior.
Economist Nariman Baravesh is author of the new book Spin-Free Economics. Nariman, thank you.
My pleasure, Bill.
Let's take a step away from the election results and look at some other numbers that have consequences. U.S. companies cut an estimated 157,000 jobs in October, the most in almost 6 years. That's according to a private report today based on payroll data. The drop was larger than forecast. Firings have spread from automakers, financial and housing-related companies, to retailers and other services. Economists say a government report in 2 days may show the economy lost jobs in October for a 10th consecutive month. You know those credit scores that are ever so important when it comes to buying a house or car? Well, the company behind the so-called FICO scores, Fair Isaac, issues its results later today. So has the environment of tight credit where people are fretting over their scores benefited Fair Isaac? Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
You might think anxious consumers would be checking their credit scores right now, but not ones they have to pay for, like the FICO score. Michael Nemiroff is an analyst with Wedbush Morgan Securities. He says most of Fair Isaac's credit score business actually comes from companies. Big financial firms use the FICO data to check their customers' credit when they want to make a big purchase, a house, a boat, even a washer-dryer.
So based on what's been going on with the economy for the last couple of quarters and the fact that most consumers are not exactly going out and buying these big-ticket items in droves, I would expect that the volumes of their scoring business would actually be declining.
And he says if there's less credit scoring going on, that's likely to mean lower profits for Fair Isaac. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Wednesday, November 5th at Marketplace.org. In California, there's another race that still has some people on the edge of their seats. A state measure on the ballot defines marriage as strictly between a man and a woman. It's known as Proposition 8. Early results forecasted that Prop 8 would pass, effectively outlawing gay marriage, and that could suck some money out of the world's sixth largest economy. Jennifer Collins reports.
California already has an estimated 92,000 same-sex couples. When the state Supreme Court ruled in May that those partners could marry, the wedding industry caught an economic bouquet. Jewelers, event planners, florists, everyone in the business of nuptials has gotten a nice bump. And the procession could have continued if Prop 8 failed and gay marriage was affirmed. A study by UCLA says the state could have seen $370 million in new business in 3 years, with even more gay couples moving to the Golden State. But since Proposition 8 is likely to pass and gay marriage banned, thousands of potential customers will probably be lost in an already tough time. Word is, traditional couples are more thrifty these days as the economy tightens. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Pollsters were on a feeding frenzy during the presidential election. Now that the election is over, they're taking a deep breath and thinking, now what? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look at how polling companies make money post-election.
This was the fourth presidential election John Zogby has polled for. He's exhausted.
I'm ready to kind of slow it down a little bit.
But things never really slow down for Zogby, the CEO of Zogby International. Political polling is dessert for Zogby, his bread and butter, polling for governments and consumer surveys.
We turned the foot cream into a foot ointment, because that's what the public said that they wanted.
Zogby does most of his election polling for media companies. That only accounts for about 9% of his revenues. Same thing for pollster Mike Riley. He's CEO of Riley Research Associates. His post-election plans, marketing research.
Will the customers buy this new product? Where will they buy it? What color should it be?
Not as riveting as predicting the next leader of the free world, but hey, it pays the bills. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
One of President Obama's first key decisions is who he will name as Treasury Secretary. Marketplace's Steve Henn is in Washington. Steve, surely there are lots of qualified people the new president could tap. How important is it who he gets to head Treasury right now?
Well, it's a huge decision, and it's huge because the markets are going to be watching this decision very carefully. So the names that are being bandied about most frequently right now are all names that Wall Street is very familiar with. Paul Volcker, the former chairman of the Fed, Larry Summers, a former Treasury Secretary, and Timothy Geithner, who runs the New York Fed.
So what's at stake whether he chooses one person or another?
This appointment is going to be hugely important in establishing not only the Treasury Department's credibility on Wall Street, but also the administration's credibility on Wall Street. And the last thing the markets need right now is another risk factor that they have to sort of digest.
And what are some of the key decisions Obama's economic team is going to have to make?
I mean, obviously the economy's a mess right now. So how involved is Obama and his economic team going to be in trying to shape those decisions? And how public do they want to be about them? Because there are risks if these policies become sort of associated and known as his policies.
Well, why wouldn't Obama want to get in and get his hands, you know, as dirty and as quickly as possible?
Well, it's one of those situations where he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. If he gets involved, if he takes a seat at the table when Paulson is trying to work out how to spend this bailout money, then those policies are going to be seen by the public as Obama administration policies. And the Obama administration doesn't exist until January 21st.
Marketplace's Steve Henn in Washington. Steve, thank you.
Thank you.
He's only been president-elect a few hours, but already the advice is pouring in. Here's commentator Will Wilkinson with his.
Congratulations, Barack Obama. You're the next president of the United States. Sadly, the government's so broke that even new curtains for the Oval Office are beyond the bounds of fiscal responsibility. Thanks to the war, the Wall Street bailout, the lousy economy, and the drop in tax revenue, your big campaign plans just got a lot smaller. Here's my advice. First, you've got to get spending under control. Yes, bring the troops home and shrink the military. But there's enormous waste in the non-defense budget, too, and you need to go after it. You said we need to cut spending with a scalpel, not a hatchet. Well, if you don't want to leave your kids with a crushing tax burden, you better get yourself a crate of scalpels. Second, drop the xenophobic claptrap. The stuff from the debates about mortgaging our future by borrowing from the Chinese to pay the Saudis has got to stop. We are not and cannot be a self-contained fortress city. It's good that capital markets are international. It's good that energy markets are international. It's good for prosperity and good for peace that we're all in it together. Help save America's economy by making it even more open to the goods and people of the world. Third, get real on the new energy economy. You've been claiming that the government can simultaneously create millions of new jobs, spur growth-enhancing innovation, and save the earth by politically picking winners among energy companies. It's a beautiful dream, but in reality it means nothing more than the greening of corporate welfare and an increase in energy prices. Our struggling economy can't afford that. You've got Congress on your side and the wind of public opinion at your back, which is exactly why you should take it slow. This election was exactly what you said it was, a referendum on the last 8 years of George W. Bush and his coalition. The voters agreed it was time to throw the bums out. But if you overreach, you'll be tomorrow's bum. Remember how popular Newt Gingrich's Contract for America was? Yeah, me neither.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is off 163 points this morning. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.